Happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name's Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint to do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And this past weekend, we jumped back into our Impossible series that's based on really Luke chapter 1, verse 37, where Gabriel says to Mary, "For nothing will be impossible with God." It's a verse that Jesus will actually quote later on in his earthly ministry in Matthew 19, 26, where he says, "With God, all things are possible." That word impossible in the original language is the word adunatos. Dunatos is the root word for where we get our word for dynamite, right? So in a sense, Gabriel is saying to Mary, nothing will not be dynamite with God. The potential of God's power is amazing. And so this time of year, everyone is very nostalgic about Jesus, but in particular, they get nostalgic about the baby Jesus. And they don't want to let him grow up out of the manger and become, you know, the Savior, the Lord, the God of their lives. They just kind of want to keep him there. And so what we looked at this past weekend is this whole idea that the whole world was a mess. You know, you had the Pax Romana led by Julius Caesar. You had Quirinius, led by Caesar Augustus. You had Quirinius, who was the governor of Syria, and then Herod, who was really king there. In Israel, and there was this whole sense that that triumvirate lorded over the people to the degree that Mary and Joseph had to go home for a census. I think Caesar thought people were skipping out on paying taxes, so each one had to go back to his hometown. Mary did not, by law. She didn't have to go with Joseph, but it says a lot about Joseph and Mary's story that Mary felt safer to go on a 70-mile donkey ride with Joseph as opposed to staying with her own family there where she lived up in northern Israel. And so, you know, the world was just, it was just chaos. So the whole world was a mess. And then you have Mary and Joseph, you know, on this donkey ride. I mean, like, you know, we tend to think they're the happy couple, but they were stressed. You know, you've got Joseph trying to, you know, jerk the rope, I'm sure, on this donkey, trying to get him to move. And the donkey probably doesn't want to move because he's got a lady riding on his back over a 70-mile stretch of a couple of days there in a hurry. And I just think the nativity scene that we have, that we tend to paint, is probably not as accurate as we think. It was a very difficult journey, very difficult for the two of them. And then you had the shepherds. If anybody in the story, the shepherds were the ones who were blessed. They were the ones who, had the reputation for being thieves and liars and crooks. But they're the ones to whom God reveals the story. And, they're there in Bethlehem. You know, Micah 5:2 in the Old Testament, 2-4 anyway, says that, you know, this Messiah is going to come from Bethlehem Ephratah. And Ephratah was a regional name. It was the agricultural area outside of Bethlehem. And then in Micah chapter 4, verse 8, he says that this Messiah king, that he will come to the tower of the flock, literally Migdal Eder. It's probably what your study Bible says if you look at Micah 4, 8. And Migdal Eder was the stomping grounds of King David whenever he was a kid. And that's where he chose the area for the Passover lambs to be raised, the place that he would call, again, Migdal Eder, is the Tower of the Flock. So, you know, in our lifetime, maybe a little before our lifetime, when Migdal Eder was found, right where, you know, Eusebius in the 5th century said it would be, one Roman mile outside of Bethlehem, they found these massive towers. And they were towers where it seemed that shepherds would go up and watch over their flock. Now, that didn't happen anywhere else. So why does it happen there? Because King David, whenever he brought the tabernacle to Jerusalem, he designated Migdal Eder to be the place where the sacrificial lambs were grown. So that means that once a year, at least, the high priest would come there to Migdal Eder, just outside of Bethlehem. And he would designate a lamb as the Passover lamb. They'd take that lamb, they'd put it in a trough when it was time to go to Jerusalem. They'd put it in a manger, They'd wrap it up with swaddling cloths because it couldn't have a scratch, couldn't break a bone on the way to Jerusalem, because that was going to be the lamb over which God would look the sins of the people. And I think Micah up in heaven somewhere, I'm sure it doesn't happen this way. I'm guessing Micah can't see what's going on earth. But in my mind, Micah is watching the whole thing going, I told you. So I told you this was coming 700 years before Jesus ever showed up. That out of Bethlehem Ephratah, the Passover lamb, the ultimate, the Lamb of God, was going to come to us. And so it's such good news. That's why the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I'll bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Good news, great joy, all people. The bad news, we see it every day, right? The world's such a mess, trouble, fracture, division, evil, pain, all of those things. Everyone has spiritual kryptonite. We're all born into the world flawed. Nobody's immune. We think some people are better than other people, and morally, maybe some people do better things than other people, but it's just a different level on the same ship, right? We're all on the same Titanic headed for the bottom of the moral ocean. Nobody's perfect, but we don't have to be, because Jesus came and he was perfect in our place. Today in the town of David has been born to you the Messiah, the Lord. That is good news. He can relate to all of us because he's like us, but he's different enough that he could save any of us. And if Jesus was born in a manger, crucified on a cross, and walked out of the grave, then everything is going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to whom God's favor rests. Let me pray for us, and then I'll give you the opportunity to pray. God, we're grateful today that we have your favor, that your glory rests on our hearts and lives, that we have your peace. And so God, I do pray today that we'll live from your favor, not for your favor. We've already got it. And out of that, God, you would make us aware of what you want to do, how you want to shine your light into our lives. We know our tendency is to be paralyzed by the darkness instead of looking for the light. But today, God, help us to look for it and to see it, to join you in what you're doing. Now you take the opportunity to pray.